The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, maybe Philadelphia Eagles suck. Maybe they're finally starting to fall. I don't know. They did not look good at all in last night's game. Maybe it was a fluke. I'd like to hope it's not. I'm going to be real excited if this is a preview of what's to come for the rest of the season with this team. But let's get right into Thursday Night Football between the New York Giants and the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, the Giants looked like a good team, even though they're not. There's nothing, in my opinion, that has changed about the Giants. They're still terrible. They still suck. But hey, they took it to Philly last night. And I mean, that's what happens in these division battles. You never know what you're going to get. It does not matter if one team is the defending Super Bowl champs and the other are the garbage pit of the league. The Giants were, from the jump, they were dominating this game. And at first I was like, is this fake? Or are the Eagles going to make their typical comeback? And it looked like they were going to make it a game in the first half. But then the second half happened, and the Giants really just took off and really never looked back. But also, got to say, this Eagles offense looked awful. Jalen Hurts was overthrowing passes. I mean, there was one wide open pass. I can't remember who his receiver was, but his receiver was darting out. And had his receiver been able to catch this ball, he would have had a wide open-ass touchdown. Unfortunately, Jalen Hurts overthrew him by a lot. And he was doing that a lot last night. He was not on point with really any of his passes last night. It was a pretty pathetic game from the Eagles' offense overall. But the Giants got the win, 34-17. Cam Scadaboo. Love that fucking last name. I've loved hearing that dude's last name since he ran over my Texas Longhorns last year in that bowl game. But he had 98 yards and 3 motherfucking touchdowns. So big game from that rookie. Then the other rookie, Jackson Dart, at quarterback, 17 for 25, 195 yards and a touchdown. Also, the dude can move in the pocket. It's pretty crazy. He's a little slippery guy. Like, they seem to try and grab him, and he just gets right out of the grasp. So, you know, Giants fans got at least something to look forward to. These two guys actually are pretty explosive. I don't think the Giants are a good team this year, but those two guys give them some hope because they are they're explosive. And I like what I see from both of them, but, it was pretty funny to watch this terrible ass Giants team just roll right over this Philadelphia Eagles team. Like I said, hopefully this is a preview of something to come for the rest of the season, because I would love to see the Philadelphia Eagles suck ass this year. All right, so let's get right back into the rest of Week 6 and what we have going on this week. Also, my head-to-head matchup with the homie Simon Ruvalcaba. Last week, I went 6-8, bringing my season total to 48-29, and he went 8-6, bringing his season total to 48-29. So we are tied up this season. You know what? This is the closest Simon and I have ever been. I usually kick the shit out of Simon, and it's usually not even close. There's been a couple of years, I think it was last year especially, where I just like obliterated this dude, and he just had no shot. But so it's great that this year we are tied up heading into Week 6, and let's see what's going on here. Well, we both started off the week 0-1 because we both had the Eagles last night, so there's that. Unfortunately, Simon has not got me his picks for the rest of the weekend, so I will just be going off on my picks this week. So let's go ahead and get started with what we have going on Sunday, beginning in jolly old London again. This week we have the Denver Broncos versus the New York Jets in London. Unfortunately, London, you're getting another one-sided battle between the Broncos, who are actually playing really solid football right now, especially on the defensive side of the ball, against the Jets, who are just not a good team at all. Right now, the Broncos are a 7.5-point favorite, and I'm going to keep it real. I just kind of feel like the Broncos are going to mop the floor with the Jets. I don't think this is going to be a close one. I feel like the Denver defense is going to take care of business, probably cause a couple of turnovers, possibly for a potential pick six or something like that. Either way, they're going to be setting their offense up in good field position, and I feel like the Broncos are going to have no issue scoring today scoring on Sunday against the Jets. I've got the Broncos winning 41-14. Then we have moving over to the U.S. and the morning games. We have the Los Angeles Rams at the Baltimore Ravens. Right now, the Rams are a 7.5-point favorite, and it's looking like Lamar Jackson will not be playing in this one again. And even so, this Ravens team, I don't know if they're going to be able to dig their way out of this hole. It just kind of feels like not only are the injuries piling up, but you could just tell this is a very down team. It just feels like they don't have a lot of confidence when they speak. It doesn't show like that they have a lot of confidence on the field. And the Rams are a pretty damn good team. They have their follies, if you will, especially on the special team side of the ball with the field goal kicker. Like I said, I don't know if it's the field goal kicker himself or just the offensive line and them blocking. But he's had quite a few block kicks this year. So that's really their biggest problem. They've also had some issues in the red zone this year, rather scoring touchdowns. They've been settling for threes. But I think the Rams' problems are fixable. I also love their defense. I think they have a very stout defense that I think is just going to get stronger and better as the season rolls on. And their offense, I mean, you've got Devontae Adams, you've got Puka Nacua, you've got Kyren Williams, and of course, you've got Matthew Stafford. I really just like a lot of things about this Rams team, and I think they're coming in very confident and ready to win. So I've got the Rams winning 27-17. Then we have the Dallas Cowboys at the Carolina Panthers. Right now, the Cowboys are a 3.5-point favorite. The Panthers, they've been playing the way I expected them to. I feel like they're a young, hungry team, but they've got a lot of growing pains. And they don't have a lot of talent. They've just got some solid dudes, I feel like, that just have some room to grow. Whereas the Cowboys, offensively, Cowboys are having zero motherfucking issues, especially my dude, Dak motherfucking Prescott. Legit. Statistically, Dak is the best quarterback in the league this year. Isn't that fucking awesome to hear? And we ain't had CeeDee Lamb the last couple of weeks. Like, I told y'all, game one against Philly, with what Dak is going to do this year, you guys ain't even ready to watch Dak Prescott potentially win this MVP this year. You just ain't ready for a potential fucking playoff run for Dak Prescott, because this dude is playing so nice. So nice. I mean, last week we had so many injuries headed into that game, and it was one of those games where you're like, this team should get a we're going to see the typical Dallas Cowboys show up where it's like they just get obliterated in a game they should win and blah, blah, blah. Nah, not this year, especially on the offensive side of the ball. And I feel like the defense is going to get stronger as the season goes on. And I feel like this is going to be another game like last week where they are just going to dominate the entire game, really have zero issues scoring. And I feel like the defense is going to step it up yet again in this one. And I've got the Cowboys rolling over my homie Simon's Carolina Panthers 31-14. Then we have the Arizona Cardinals at the Indianapolis Colts. Right now, the Colts are a 5.5-point favorite. There's some issues with Kyler Murray. He's got an injured foot, I believe, and he just now practiced today, so it looks like he's probably going to play, but how effective is he going to be? Their offense is beat up. They're already on their third, fourth, fifth, 12th string running backs at this point, and there's not a lot of spark offensively at all. Then you turn to the Colts side of the ball. Colts looking like a damn good team right now. Offensively, zero issues. And like I keep saying, Jonathan Taylor, he keeps on rolling over people the way he's doing. I feel like he's going to do that this week over the Arizona Cardinals. I feel like this Colts defense starting to get better each and every week, starting to get more of an identity each and every week. And I feel like this is going to be a pretty easy one for the Colts to win. I've got the Colts winning 27-14. Then we have the Seattle Seahawks at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Right now, the Jaguars are a 1.5-point favorite, and Jacksonville is looking more and more legit to me. Like I said, I took them over the Niners. I was very hesitant to take them over the Chiefs last week, and I did not because they had to prove it to me. And I think Jacksonville may have finally proven it to me. Seattle, not a bad team at all. They've got a really good defense, an offense that can spark. They haven't really been consistent this season. It's pretty much been one game they won't score a lot of points, then the next game they'll score a whole lot of points. And so last week, since they scored a bunch of points, I kind of feel like it's going to be this week where they don't score a lot, especially because this Jacksonville defense is very, very difficult to not only score upon, but if you've got a quarterback who's very loosey-goosey like Sam Darnold can be, don't be shocked if you see some more Jacksonville Jaguar turnovers this week, because they lead the league in turnovers. I really like this defense. And offensively, they're able to stay in it. I still think they have a lot of work to do on the offensive side of the ball. But this Jacksonville defense is for real, y'all. I mean, they actually handled the Kansas City Chiefs last week. And yes, I know Chiefs offense is not what it used to be, but they're still one of the top teams in the league. I mean, they know how to win those close games, and Jacksonville actually stuck in it, and they were able to get the win. So I've got Jacksonville this week basically doing the same thing. I've got their defense playing a solid game and their offense just sticking with it, and I've got the Jaguars winning again 24-20. Then we have the Los Angeles Chargers at the Miami Dolphins. Right now, the Chargers are a 5.5-point favorite. Both of these teams really need a win, but the Chargers really, really need a win, because the Chargers are a team that's actually legit, whereas the Dolphins are shit. So I kind of feel like this is a good get-right game for the Chargers. They do have some issues with injuries on the offensive line, but I kind of feel like this is a week they're going to get right. The Dolphins are not a very good team. I think their defense is going to take care of business against this Dolphins offense, and I've got the Chargers getting right at getting the win 28-17. Then we have the Cleveland Browns at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Right now, the Steelers are a 4.5-point favorite. Steelers coming off of a bye. Cleveland they just traded away Joe Flacco, so now it's basically two rookies at the quarterback helm, which I kind of feel like you might as well just go that route, because Cleveland really is, they're not going to do anything this year. They're basically just playing to play at this point, just trying to find out who is a decent player. Defensively, very, very solid team, but offensively, you just never know what you're going to get from this team. Steelers, on the other hand, the Steelers are actually, they seem to be getting better every single game. Defensively, looking like the old Steelers. Offensively, Aaron Rodgers is really just commanding this offense. He is not blowing anybody out of the water by no means. He's having a solid year, though, and he's getting, you know, DK Metcalf, excellent weapon out there. They're just really starting to get going, especially on the offensive side of the ball. They're starting to gel as a team, and I just don't think that's good news for the Cleveland Browns. I actually think it's going to be a difficult game for the Cleveland Browns this week. I've got the Steelers winning 24-10. Then we have the New England Patriots at the New Orleans Saints. Right now, the Patriots are a 3.5-point favorite. Saints got a big win last week. I really kind of felt like the Saints were going to struggle to find any wins this year, so good for them. They got their one win. But that might be their one win for a minute, because the Patriots, they are not a very good team, but they've got a lot of grit, and they play hard every single game. And I expect them to play hard in this game. I don't think either team is really that good, so I think it's going to be kind of a close battle. I actually kind of feel like this is going to be a defensive battle for the most part, but I think New England has a slightly better team. They obviously, I feel like, are much better on the offensive side of the ball. I feel like defensively, they're both very good teams, and I wouldn't be shocked if both defenses really make this a struggle for each team. But since the Patriots have a slightly better offense, I'm going with New England in this one, 21-16. Then our afternoon games, we have the Tennessee Titans at the Las Vegas Raiders. Right now, the Raiders are a 6.5-point favorite, and the Raiders and the Titans have both been reeling. This has been an awful season for both teams, and I even though the Titans are coming off of that crazy win last week, that was just luck. That was like right place, right time type of win, and yes, that's you are going to get wins in the league like that, but they have shown no consistency in any way, shape, or form, especially on the offensive side of the ball. And neither have the Raiders, though. The Raiders, Geno Smith has been having an insane turnover problem. Now, gotta say, offensive line, terrible, and that does not help. But I kind of feel like both teams, terrible, so it should be a very close game. I'm leaning more towards the Raiders because I think they have much more going on the offensive side of the ball and the defensive side of the ball, and the Titans are just garbage. So I'm going Raiders in this one, 20-17. Then we have the Cincinnati Bengals at the Green Bay Packers. Right now, the Packers are a 14.5-point favorite. Packers are coming off of a bye week, so they're nice and rested. Well, the Bengals are actually going to be starting a new quarterback. I just mentioned Joe Flacco got traded away from the Cleveland Browns. He is now a Cincinnati Bengals, so he did not go far. I think this is a good move for the Bengals because obviously Jake Browning was not working out for them. And even though Flacco's 95 years old at this point, the dude still knows how to play quarterback. He still has an excellent arm, and he's shown over these last couple of years, you just throw him in there, he could take care of business. Now, the problem with this Bengals team, their offensive line is trash. So I don't know how much more of a spark he's going to provide over Browning. I just think his veteran presence is going to be much better. I feel like he's going to get the ball at least to his playmakers, Jamar and T. Higgins. And if you can do that, you're going to get some points. But unfortunately for them, I just think the Green Bay Packers, you know, they're coming off of that really difficult tie against the Cowboys. And then before that, they were coming off of a loss to the Cleveland Browns. So we'll see what happens here, but I kind of feel like the Packers, they're rested, they're ready to go, and I feel like they're going to bust open the Cincinnati Bengals 41-20. And we have the San Francisco 49ers at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Right now, the Buccaneers are a 2.5-point favorite. To me personally, I think the 49ers are a fraudulent team. I have not put them in my top 10 power rankings at all because I don't really I first of all, don't go by just record. I go by eye test as well, and I just don't think the Niners are that good of a team. I kind of feel like a lot of their wins have been just lucky wins, and that's about it. I don't think they're a good team. I wouldn't be shocked if they actually don't make the playoffs at all when it's all said and done. But with that being said, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the exact opposite end of the spectrum. Baker Mayfield is having an MVP-type season where he is just ripping everybody apart. Now, every game for the Bucs has been a very close one, so I think this week is the first week they're not going to have a close game. As a matter of fact, I think they're going to pretty much dominate the Niners. It looks like Mac Jones is probably going to be starting again for the Niners this week, so no Brock Purdy, and I feel like this Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense is really going to put him on his ass because he was hurting in this last game. So Mac Jones is not even that healthy himself, and I feel like this is going to be a lot of pressure from the Buccaneers, and then on the offensive side of the ball, Baker and the squad are just going to light them up, and I've got the Buccaneers winning 27-10. Then our Sunday night football matchup is the Detroit Lions at the Kansas City Chiefs. Right now, the Chiefs are 1.5-point favorite, which is kind of shocking to me because I think the Detroit Lions are head and shoulders above the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs, in my opinion, don't even compare to the Detroit Lions at this current point in time. I think the Lions' offense is probably going to have a field day. Yes, the Chiefs' defense is good. That's really what's kept them in every single game this season. But Detroit has just been rolling over everybody. They don't give a fuck. They don't care where they play. They don't care who they play. And I just feel like Detroit's going to walk in and take care of business. The Chiefs have not been good on the offensive side of the ball at all. And they've pretty much just kind of lucked out in a lot of these games. And I just don't think that this is not the team you're going to luck out against. As a matter of fact, like I said, I feel like this is going to be all Detroit all day. I've got the Detroit Lions winning this one 27-13. All right, moving on to playoff baseball. We have a couple teams who have already moved on to the championship series, but we also have a couple of game fives on deck this weekend. So let's get started with the series between the Chicago Cubs and the Milwaukee Brewers. Game three, the Cubs were able to just hold on, get the win 4-3 over the Brewers. And then in game four, whew, they absolutely dominated last night, 6-0. Tucker had a home run. Happ had a home run. Bush had a home run. And now we have us a game five coming up in Milwaukee on Saturday night. I don't know how I feel about this because we'll get to who they're going to be facing. I don't really think it matters who wins this fucking series because I'm really goddamn pissed off about who is headed to the NLCS. Ugh. Guess we might as well talk about who's headed to the NLCS. In game three, the Philadelphia Phillies gave us some hope by kicking the crap out of the Dodgers 8-2. Kyle Schwarber had 2 home runs and 3 RBI, but then game four was, oh God, it was actually a really good game. I mean, it was a battle between these two teams. Both teams wanted this win so bad. It was 0-0 for the longest time, and then it becomes 1-1 for the longest time, and here we are in the 11th inning, tied at 1. And the Dodgers have the bases loaded. And just the Phillies, Pajes hits the ball, and it goes right to the pitcher. And homeboy is headed towards the plate, and oh, the pitcher just throws such a terrible ball. and it just goes away, and you just look at it and you go, God damn it, the stupid Dodgers won and they're going back to the fucking NLCS. Oh, it is so annoying to see the Dodgers back in the NLCS. I'm so mad because now it can't be stopped, in my fucking opinion. I am so mad because the Dodgers looked so shitty in the regular season. It looked like, hooray, they're going to get beaten. Don't get me wrong. The Cubs and the Brewers could potentially play well against this Dodgers team, but this Dodgers team has not blinked. As a matter of fact, it's kind of funny because the only person having a terrible playoff right now is Shohei Ohtani. Dude went 1-for-19 in this series. Didn't do a goddamn thing, but yet it didn't matter. The stupid Dodgers are moving on to the NLCS, and they're probably going to move on to the World Series, and yippee, win another one. I know we still have a long way to go, but as a Dodger hater, I am so mad today. I can't believe the Phillies ended it like that, and it's so, heartbreaking. So, we'll see. Chicago or the Brewers are going to be headed to off to play the Dodgers at some point in the NLCS. We'll see. My hopes are not high on either team, but we'll see. And then game four in the ALDS between the Toronto Blue Jays and the Yankees. Blue Jays took care of business. They got the win over the Yankees 5-2. So they have moved on to the ALCS. And they will be awaiting the winner of game five tonight in Seattle. Detroit Tigers at the Seattle Mariners. This is going to be a good one, y'all. Because Detroit is pitching Tarek Skubal. Now, he has not been consistent in the playoffs. He actually had a very good start. I think it was in the wild card round. Yeah, it wasn't his last start. It was the previous start. So he had a good start in the wild card round. And, you know, he's been having another Cy Young type season. So he actually probably should win the Cy Young, I imagine. He's going to. But he's got to pitch the game of his life tonight because the Mariners are hot as hell. They are playing excellent baseball, and I feel like this is going to be one of those that's probably similar to last night's Dodgers-Phillies game, where it's going to be a battle. They're probably going to be tied a couple of times, and it could go into extra innings. I'm rooting, I think, for the Tigers. I'm kind of leaning Tigers because of Skubal, and I just feel like he's going to step it up tonight. But this Mariners team is really sneaky. But at the end of the day, I don't think either one of those stupid teams is going to be beating the fucking Dodgers. And I don't think the Blue Jays are beating the Dodgers either. I think it's just going to be the stupid Dodgers winning again. Ugh, so mad. But we still got a lot of baseball to go. But hopes are not high on the Dodgers losing at this point in time. All right, so moving on. Because we got us basketball season on the horizon, guys. As a matter of fact, the NBA regular season kicks off in 2 weeks. So that means it is NBA season predictions time. So today I'm going to be making my season predictions on the Pacific Division, and the Atlantic Division, and just how I think these teams are going to break down. So let's get right into it. Of course, I'm starting with the Pacific Division because I am a Lakers fan, y'all, and I'm looking forward to this season. So who do I think is going to finish on top in the Pacific Division? Who do you think I think is going to finish on top? And that's my motherfucking Lakers, bitches. Yes, I know. LeBron is unfortunately starting the season off on the injured list. The first time in his entire long-ass 20-year career, he ain't starting the season. He ain't going to be starting the season opener at all. He's actually going to be missing, it looks like, potentially a month. With sciatica. He's apparently got a pain in his ass, literally, has a pain in his ass, kind of hilarious, but I didn't think that was going to be really a big deal this year, because I'm really more focused on Luka. I feel like this is going to be a year where the Lakers are you could tell they already wanted to start transitioning the role from LeBron to somebody else. And when Luka became available to them, they had to jump at it. And to me, this is the perfect dude to take over for LeBron. And so I wasn't expecting LeBron to be the dude this year. Now, I expect LeBron to play well. He's got to start the season off on the injured list. So we'll see how that goes. But I kind of felt like LeBron was just going to be more of a role player this year, not really the sole guy. Obviously, he's going to play a huge role. He's not going to be like a bitch-ass bench dude, but nah, I feel like this year it's all about Luka. We made some big moves. Actually, I think it's going to be all about Luka and Austin Reeves, as a matter of fact. This tag team duo looked legit towards the end of last season, so I'm really looking forward to seeing what these two could do together with an entire season together. So I'm thinking this is going to be a Luka Reeves year, and then LeBron just mixed in when he needs to be, but also a move I really liked that the Lakers made this year, because the big deal last year was we needed a center and we needed some help on the defensive side of the ball. And we got us some help on the defensive side of the ball in Marcus Smart. Now, Marcus Smart isn't the Marcus Smart of old, but I feel like this dude is going to come in and make some nice plays for us, especially in a playoff run, or especially in like those really close matchups where you just need that role player to step it up and make a big play. I think Marcus Smart is going to be that dude. I also like the pickup of Ayton. I don't think DeAndre Ayton is going to be this earth-shattering type dude, but I think he's going to make some plays. We'll see what happens here, but I really like what the moves the Lakers made in the offseason, and I mean, you got Luka, and the dude had a great offseason. He's in excellent shape. So I'm looking at that Luka Reeves type of year with LeBron sprinkled in. Finishing in second place in the Pacific Division, I have the Golden State Warriors. Just because, you know, they also made a big move last year at the trade deadline for Jimmy Butler. And I think Jimmy Butler and Steph are going to make a great duo. There's some turmoil in this team, but it still doesn't matter to me. They're still, like, I feel like Jimmy Butler is what they really needed to give them a spark on this, in this team. And I feel like Steph's going to be the outside guy, knocking down all the threes, and Butler's going to be the paint guy, making all the layups and grabbing all the rebounds and making some big plays. So I actually think the Golden State Warriors are going to be a pretty good team this year. Then finishing in third place in the Pacific Division, I have the Los Angeles Clippers. I feel like this is going to be the injury squad. You got Kawhi Leonard, always injured. James Harden, always injured. Bradley Beal, always injured. CP3, always injured. So don't be shocked if we see all four of those dudes just rotating on the injured list. It's a lot of talent there, and don't be shocked if you see them get some pretty solid wins, maybe go on a couple of win streaks, but I'm not expecting a whole lot from the Los Angeles Clippers this year. Then finishing in fourth place in the Pacific Division, I have the Phoenix Suns. This is pretty much just going to be Devin Booker and Devin Booker and Devin Booker and Devin Booker and Devin Booker. There is your starting five for the Phoenix Suns, because they no longer have Kevin Durant. They no longer have Bradley Beal. And you look at the rest of this roster and I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? So I think it's going to be a long, long season for you Phoenix Suns fans. Then finishing in fifth place in the Pacific Division, I have the Sacramento Kings. I did actually go back and forth between the Kings and the Suns. My thing with the Kings is I feel like they're going to be that team in turmoil, and they're also going to be that team that once we get kind of towards the trade deadline, they're going to be sellers, and especially Sabonis. Sabonis already, you could tell, was starting to have issues with them last year. And I'm meaning with like the front office and the coaching, and it just kind of feels like he's starting to wear out his welcome in Sacramento. So I wouldn't be shocked if this is a guy we see on the move. Then they also have DeRozan and LaVine, and you know, they're two pretty solid players, but I mean, the Sacramento Kings to me are basically the same as the Phoenix Suns. They've got some good players, but not anything beyond like two guys. And like I said, I kind of feel like Sabonis is going to be on the move at some point this season. Moving on to the Atlantic Division and how I think that division is going to pan out. Finishing in first place, I've got the New York Knicks. They've got Brunson. They've got OG. They've got Hart. They've got Cat. This is a team that I really like. They've been on the move the last couple of seasons and just keep falling short. So they got rid of Tibbs at the end of last season, and ended up going after Mike Brown in the offseason. Mike Brown usually is very successful in his first season as coach. So I actually expect the Knicks to dominate the Eastern Conference this year. I expected them to do that anyways because I really like their roster, and I expect them to build off of these last couple of seasons and become a legit squad this year. And I feel like Mike Brown, he's going to do that this year. Like I said, first year, Mike Brown is not a real good. He's not a bad coach, but he's not a great coach. He's kind of a mid coach. And like I said, first year, usually successful. It's usually the years after that. So we'll see what happens. He does inherit a really solid roster. And like I said, he's usually successful in his first year. So I feel like this is going to be a really good year for the Knicks. I expect them to dominate the Eastern Conference and dominate this division. Finishing in second place, I have the Boston Celtics because of the Jason Tatum injury. I mean, he's not going to be back till at least February, March, maybe later. I mean, it's an Achilles injury. So, I mean, he could potentially miss the entire season. And depending on how their season shapes up, why would you want to just force him out there? If they actually end up being a shitty team, which I don't expect them to, obviously, since I have them finishing in second place in this division. But, I mean, let's just say they're not having a good year, why would you force him out there? I kind of feel like you just play it by ear. But at the same time, he's a competitive dude and probably wants to be out there. But that Tatum injury is going to be lingering over them all season long. And until he's back, I don't think this is going to be a complete team. They're basically going to have to ride the back of Jaylen Brown, which he hasn't been that consistent since he signed that big contract. And he started off real slow last year. So we'll see what happens with the Celtics team. For me personally, I feel like the Celtics are going to be more of a second half team where they're going to have to find themselves without Jason Tatum and then potentially they can inject him into the roster at some point in the second half of the season and maybe make a nice little playoff run there. So finishing in third place in the Atlantic Division, I have the Philadelphia 76ers. This team is just always, are they going to be good or bad? It just depends on what happens with Joel Embiid. How healthy is he? He's not healthy. Once again this year, he's had it. I mean, honestly, it kind of feels like when has he been healthy lately? And so who knows what's going to happen with him? And then, of course, Paul George, it's the same exact thing. So until this team actually shows some consistency, I'm going to have no faith in them. Finishing in fourth place in the Atlantic Division, I have the Toronto Raptors. Terrible roster. No one to discuss. I kind of feel like this is going to be one of the worst teams in the league for sure. But one of the worst teams in the league I've got finishing in fifth place in the Atlantic Division is the Brooklyn Nets. Don't be shocked if the Brooklyn Nets are challenging the Detroit Pistons for the most historically worst team of all time. I mean, you remember a couple seasons ago, the Pistons had the worst season of all time and really couldn't get any wins at all. I would not be shocked if this Brooklyn Nets team rivals that team for worst team ever, because I was looking over their roster. I'm like, what is going on with this team? Does this Brooklyn Nets team like ever want to win? It feels like this Nets team has been stuck in purgatory since they moved to Brooklyn. They may want to move back to New Jersey at this point because that was the last time the Nets were even good. Yes, I know they've made the playoffs, I think, a couple of times since their move to Brooklyn, but Brooklyn sounds like it's just been purgatory for this team. They are awful. They don't ever get better. And I just, like I said, this is going to be a long, long, bad, bad year, in my opinion, for the Brooklyn Nets. All right, y'all, enjoy the weekend of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Monday.